In 1972, the United States was at war in distant lands, and that war was not going well. There was a presidential race in which the Republican incumbent would be tough to beat. There were more than a dozen candidates crowding the field for the Democratic nomination. Sound familiar? The one voice that made the 1972 presidential campaign stand apart sounded like this.
I stand before you today as a candidate for the Democratic nomination for the presidency of the United States of America.
New York Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm entered the race, the first African-American and the first woman to make a serious bid for the nation's highest office. Her seven-month campaign crisscrossed the nation, inspiring thousands of young people and women, even if she did not win many votes. She was also often mocked, ridiculed, and dismissed, most stingingly, from members of the Congressional Black Caucus. Shirley Chisholm, 72, Unbought and Unbossed, is a new documentary about that campaign. Shala Lynch directed the film and joins us from our studios in New York City. Ms. Lynch, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having us here.
And Victor Robles was a staff member in Mrs. Chisholm's congressional office, campaigned with her for president. He is now the city clerk of the city of New York. Mr. Robles, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, and what a joy for me. Brings back memories.
Ms. Lynch, what about this particular campaign decided it for you that people needed to know about the history of this campaign?
I was amazed at how little I knew about her. I actually heard her birthday announced on NPR, and I was like, oh, wow, she's still alive. Mm-hmm. So when I researched her political work, I knew she was the first black woman elected to Congress. This run for president, though, I knew nothing about. I took women's studies classes. I took black studies classes. How come I didn't know about this woman?
Mr. Robles, you worked in Shirley Chisholm's congressional office, the Bedford-Stuyvesant district.
Mm-hmm.
How long had she been in Congress before she decided she wanted to run for president?
She took her seat in 1970. Mm-hmm. So she was elected in 1968-69, and it was in 1972 when she decided to run for the presidency, the Democratic nomination.
There's a moment in the film when the esteemed Walter Cronkite, noting that Mrs. Chisholm had declared her candidacy, said that someone has a new face has thrown her bonnet in the ring. Now, I like to think that phrase is unthinkable from a major news organization these days, but I'm wondering if seeing the film and researching the film reminded you a little bit of the times we were talking about then.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, the nice thing about the 70s is that people weren't so politically correct, and so that they were more natural on camera, and they said the funniest things often. And what Walter Cronkite says, well, a hat? No, that would be a bonnet has been tossed into the presidential ring today, that of Mrs. Shirley Chisholm. You know, I think with distance we can see both how he was marginalizing her without realizing it, and also the humor now.
But I think during those times, I don't think that was an insult. I think that was the mentality. I mean, first of all, how dare her, a woman, to even think of it. But if you go back also, when Bella Abzug went to the Congress, the House had a special room for her so she can put her hat, call it bonnet, but it was a hat. And so in those days, there were very few women how dare you do that?
If I may, you could call most of Bella Abzug's hats battleships, not just bonnets. I mean, she was known for having imposing hats. 1972 was the first election in which people aged 18 to 21 could cast their votes.
Absolutely.
With the advantage of hindsight, what influence did that have on the campaign?
Mrs. C, I think, ran in part because of that. You're talking about 10 million scary new voters. They were burning bras and protesting and, you know, wearing black leather, all of that. And so she was able to bring a lot of these young people into the process.
They're saying, Mrs. C, let's
oh, sorry.
Where this come from. This was the young people who did not call her Chisholm or Mrs. Chisholm. They automatically adopted her as Mrs. C, which carried on. For myself, since I was so close to her, I don't call her Mrs. C, I call her Mother C.
At the heart of this story, I think it's safe to say, is a painful relationship between Shirley Chisholm and the Congressional Black Caucus, which
yes.
Which I think she plainly feels did not give her the kind of support to which she felt entitled.
Well, it seemed as though she was mixed on that. There were certain people within the Black Caucus that did support her, but the large majority felt like this was not the time for her candidacy or a candidacy like this.
She was disappointed at times. Here was a caucus that was a large number at that given time, which was the first time such numbers was in the Congress, and where
some of those names I think would still be familiar to Americans. You have Ron Dellums, who's from California, John Conyers of Michigan, mm-hmm. William Clay from Missouri,
Walter Fauntleroy from D.C. at that time,
Charles Rangel, New York.
Right.
We have a clip here from the film Congressman William Clay of Missouri speaking at the 1972 Democratic Convention in Miami about Mrs. Chisholm's campaign.
Sometimes I question her motives on certain in certain instances. I certainly question her judgment, and even at times I question her sanity. Shirley Chisholm has been rejected at the polls in state after state by black people. The black delegates at this convention have a mandate from their people not to support Shirley Chisholm.
You know, she expected not always to find roses. And remember, in those days, women were not supposed to be such powerful people in the political process. So she becomes a threat not to white America, but even to the established black America, who in those days were black male.
And also, you got to remember, Nixon is in the White House, and people, and I think somebody in the film says this, people wanted to get with a candidate who was going to win and beat Nixon.
The portrait of Ron Dellums and the decision he had to make is particularly poignant in this film, and I wonder if you can tell us that story a bit.
Yes. Ron Dellums was a supporter of hers from the very beginning, and they seemed to share a political kinship. And he went out on a limb to support her. There was a lot of pressure on him and on many of the Chisholm delegates to support the party candidate. And so he does.
Cynical, even diabolical forces are moving to stop the candidacy of Senator George McGovern. I therefore am now endorsing the candidacy of Senator George McGovern.
Mrs. C. probably knew it was coming, but it's still disappointing. And the best part about her, though, is she understands at the end, and she says, tell Ron I love him and that we are still good.
Come home.
Yes, come home.
You tell Ron to come home to Shirley.
Take your time.
I know he doesn't know how to come to me. I've gotten the messages. I'm not mad at him. I can understand the pressures and everything that man has had to go through, being the only black official out there in California that stood out for so long, you know, with Shirley Chisholm, and everybody was ridiculing him and what have you.
And as you can hear in this bite, you know, this is the culmination of all these months of work, and you hear her emotion, you hear her respect for him, you hear her tiredness, you hear her tears.
What was it, looking back on it, was it fair for Mrs. Chisholm to expect black elected officials, or women, including, or such as Bella Abzug, to support her candidacy? I mean, after all, she'd only been in Congress a couple of years. And people like George McGovern or Hubert Humphrey had battled in the Congress a long time for issues in which she believed in too, and had credible records. Was she, if I might put it in as blunt as terms, sometimes expecting support just because of her race and sex?
You know, I think it was fair for her to ask, and it was fair for her to assert herself into the process. It absolutely was. And she let the chips fall where they fell. And it's why she could, in the end, understand Ron Dellums' position, understand Gloria Steinem's position, because she knew that she had to try.
And I truly believe that hopefully in my lifetime, a minority will be president of the United States, or a woman will be president or vice president. That's my hope, because those before us, like a Shirley Chisholm, planted a seed and nourished it, and now it's upon us.
Where is Mrs. Chisholm living now?
She's living in Florida. She's retired. She calls herself a couch potato, but looking at the size of her library and the amount of paper she reads every day, I highly doubt it.
Unfortunately, she's had two strokes. But I assure you, she's still the spunky, unbought and unbossed Shirley Chisholm.
Thank you both very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shala Lynch is the director of the new documentary, Chisholm 72, Unbought and Unbossed, Victor Robles is a former advisor to Mrs. Chisholm and currently the city clerk of New York, both of them joining us from New York.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I conclude by saying, if you can't support me or you can't endorse me, get out of my way. You do your
listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.